Amen. Let's go quickly to John 3 and John 13. And then we're going to go to Daniel 11. Right. And then after that, we're going to no, I'll tell you. There we go. Let's read John 3, 16 and 17 together out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 13, verse 34, I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. Jesus said, let me give you a new commandment, a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Period. Just the way we look at each other, folks just say, man, they love each other. just from that. Just it all in our body language. Everything about us just should ooze out love. And by the way, I meant to say when I first came up here, mama's home. She was home. They tell me I wasn't here. I was at the dealer with the car, but she was in here in prayer service this afternoon. Amen. Hallelujah. I know they, from my generation, they had a song called Daddy's Home or Mommy's Home. And she's home. She's here to stay. That's right. How's it go? She's not 1,000 miles away. Yeah, really go back. Okay. Daniel 11, the end of verse 32, gives us a piece of information that's valuable. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It says, but the people that do know their God, not know of him, and not necessarily know about him, but the people that know him. See, I've always been a person that I like to know. There are people that have come into my life, I take the time to know them. Because once I know them, I know whether or not I can depend on them. I know what to expect from them. See, because I learn who you really are. There's sometimes people will say things to me and I'll look at them and smile, and they think they've dumped a bucket of snow all over me. And then they find out that I've already peeped their whole card. And yes, regardless of the smile on my face, I know what's going on. Okay? I mean, I've spent 29 years and 11 months with Deacon Phyllis. 28 of those years, she was my wife. And so in those 28 years, I got to know her in a different measure, because now we were married. And because of that, I know how to behave around her. I know how to interact with her. Knowing her dictates how we address each other. Because just like I know her, she knows me. And she knows me better than anybody that walks on this earth. And I know her better than anybody that walks on this earth. And there's some things that we learn about people, and it's how Deacon Phyllis and I keep each other balanced. Either one of us may get off in a roar about someone, and we'll say to the other, honey, but you already know how they are. So why are you getting upset? That's how they are. That's what they do. So why get upset about it? Well, that happens because you take the time to know people. This way, when you'll know when someone's acting out of character. You'll know something's wrong because that's not the way Beulah is. She's always calm and quiet, and she's in a room. What happened? Somebody did something, you know, because that's not the way she acts. We know that about her. And we want to know and understand some things about our God. And a thing we want to know and understand tonight is that he provides for all his children. See, we think one of the things one of our young adults now said to me one time in youth fellowship, he said, why is it that the only people that God prospers are the pastors? And I said, sweetheart, that's not true. Well, but that's the way it looks. I said, well, there are reasons why people don't receive what God has provided. And I had to explain some things to her. It's not that God has provided. I mean, for example, if you got a letter and was stated that someone put $10,000 into a safe deposit bank, a safe deposit box at a bank in Fargo, North Dakota, if you decide you don't like Fargo and you're not going there, you'll never get it. Even though it's been provided because you didn't want to do what was necessary to get the provision. And that's where we find ourselves too often with God. He's provided. But we're not always willing to do what he told us to do to put us in a position to receive what he has provided. I mean, not beating up on anyone, but he said very clearly, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. He said, and prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and do what? Pour you out a blessing that there. Well, most of us have room enough left, okay, to contain it. But see, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse means no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter whether it's expected or unexpected, the first thing you do, bring all your tithe into the storehouse. But if we don't do that, if we rationalize as to why we can't afford to tithe, then we'll find ourselves rationalizing why it appears that our God doesn't provide. Because he said, give, and it shall be given again. And he tells us how. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he tells us who? Men will give into your bosom. Period. But he also said, with the same measure that you meet, that the same measure you give, it will be given to you, and that's where too many of us are living. We're not bringing all. We're giving more than tithing, and with the same measure we're giving, it's coming back, and it appears that God's not providing. It appears that way because we're not positioned to receive that which he has provided. Look at Philippians 4. Again, I haven't uncovered any new scriptures. Okay, we're all familiar with these. The Apostle Paul said, the Philippians 4, beginning at verse 16. I'm going to share it in a couple of translations. This, I believe, is the King James. He said, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Then he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen to how the Message Bible says it. And now I have it all and keep getting more. The gifts you sent with Epaphroditus were more than enough, like a sweet-smelling sacrifice roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance, pleasing God no end. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. That's what Paul says. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours. Now, remind you, he just got finished talking about how well taken care of he is because of the way people have given to him. And he's telling them, my God will do better for you than what you're doing for me. That's what he's saying. Okay. Right. He said, his generosity exceeding even yours and the glory that pours from Jesus. Our God and Father abounds in glory that just pours out into eternity. Then it says, yes. Okay. And the new Living Translation says, at the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this, listen to this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your need from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Folks, instead of looking at God's people that he has, that it's obvious that he has blessed and feel in some kind of way, understand that the same God that's blessing them also will bless you. But you might need to do the same thing that they're doing, which is giving is one, Archie, but it just goes under the category of obeying him, doing what he said. For example, see, the receiving the provision is dependent on our obedience. See, if God tells us, well, he's already told us some things. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's already told us that. He's already said to us that we are ministers of reconciliation. He's already told us to love one another. But yet we will say, this person's unlovable. We will say, I can't go. They won't listen. We'll say all these things and not do what God told us to do, because we don't understand that whatever is necessary to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he's provided. And the reason we think like that is because we don't always see the provisions when we start. Well, I believe that sometimes that's by design, folks, because we're just. We have to live by faith. And just the truth that God said he would provide should be all the faith we need to just go and just do it. He said, love one another. We say, you don't know what they did. He said, love one another. We say, we try, but they won't let me. Okay. We don't understand that God has already provided everything that we need to love one another. We already have been given the grace to do it, because that's what we need in some cases. But we insist on seeing things the way they are and not seeing things the way God presents them. Because if God says love one another, then we need to see everyone as being lovable. But instead, we see them as being unlovable or even unworthy of love because of some interactions we may have had, you know, hanging out, growing up, whatever. But really, there isn't anything that they can do or have done that's unforgivable. We just have to do two things. Number one, want to love and forgive. And two, know that God provided a means for us to do so. And stop operating in fear as what we think they might do. We have to know and understand that one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. That doesn't mean the Lord might provide. Okay. It means the Lord will provide. Some translations say the Lord who provides. Okay. Others say the Lord that provides. However you slice it, he provides. And we need to know that. We don't sing that song much anymore, but sometimes we just go around singing, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Yep. I mean, that's what you do. And not in the good times when you're dancing and rolling in dough, you know. But the times when you look like you don't have anything, you just start dancing into your little jig, singing your song because you know that your God provides. And if you, see, I believe it was Les Brown, he's a motivational speaker. He came here and he said, all you need to know is it possible? He said, and if one person has ever done it, then you know it's possible. So you just need to, if you really believe that God is no respecter of persons, then you think of one person that he's provided for, that has the provisions, you know, that looks like the windows of heaven were open and they don't have room enough to contain it all, and you'll know if you did it for them, he'll do it for me too. It's possible. Not only is it possible, it's an absolute because God said it. God said, we have to know that. Look at Genesis. We can't talk about this without going to Genesis and talking about Abraham. And I'm going to share some things with you. Most of these things he shared with me between 5 and 7:17 today. Okay. But starting at verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And, oh, 22, Genesis 22. Start at verse 1. We'll eventually make it down to 14. Hopefully today. Okay. All right. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there, everybody say there, for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God said he was being very specific. He knew what he had in store for Abraham, and in order for Abraham to receive it, he had to go to a specific place. There were many mountains in that area. There were many places Abraham could have selected for the burnt offering, but his provision was in one very specific place. God said, take your son to the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will show thee. So God is letting him know, you're going to have a lot of choices. I'm going to tell you which one. See, we want to know before we get there. But God said, no, I'll show it to you. There are a lot of churches you can attend. There are a lot. There are a lot of pastors you can sit under. But God said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart, which means he's going to send you to a specific place to be pastored. Why? Because that's where he sent your wisdom. That's where he sent your spiritual provisions. And then he tells you where to go, and you have to be obedient to go and stay until he tells you, now I need you to go somewhere else and not get caught up in things that may appear to be exciting or spectacular because they may not be for you. We understand? So I'm telling you, I used to tease, but I used to chide Pastor Sarah, not that she's ever tried to get me to leave, even though it felt like it sometimes. And I say that to her all the time, you know. But it was like wild horses couldn't pull me away with a crowbar because I knew. I didn't know too much about God at that time, but I knew he sent me here. And I don't care what I had to endure here, I wasn't going anyplace. Yeah, I made a lot of noise, you know, and walked around pouting and saying I was going to go. But I knew I wasn't going anywhere. You kidding? I'm like, Peter, this is where I got the words of life. Are you kidding me? I'm going to leave? I don't think so. So verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. See, he didn't procrastinate. He didn't call his folks and tell them, you know, I need you to come together because I believe I heard from God, so we need to pray and see if I'm going to be told to be obedient to this. No, he knew it was God's voice. What's there to pray about? God gave him some instructions. His only choice is, the only right choice is to get going. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He went to the place God told him. Say, he went to the place God told him. Okay, now look at verse 4. Then on the third day, and I'm like, the third day? This man's been traveling for 3 days, passing all these mountains, all these different places where he could have given a burnt offering, and then turned around and went back home. But he's 3 days into this trip. Well, that's telling us that sometimes to get what God's provided requires patience and endurance. And if you're patient and you endure and you persevere, you'll get it. But after 3 days, he lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Okay? I mean, you look up and it's like, oh, here it is. He's like, whoa. It's way over there. Okay. Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder in worship and come again to you. This is an indicator that Abraham knew God. Because God said, sacrifice your son. Abraham said, we're going to go worship, and then we are going to come back. Okay. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And you could put it in Isaac's eyes, must have been as big as basketballs, because he saw everything except the sacrifice. Okay. Now me, I was always very, very inquisitive and still am. Okay. And I asked questions that would get me in trouble growing up. You know, I'd ask things like, how come I can eat an apple turnover for breakfast, but I can't eat a slice of apple pie? You know, those type of things that didn't make sense, caused my bottom lip to be bigger than my top lips a few times. You'd think I'd learn, but I kept asking the questions anyway. And I would have been pressing them. Dad, I don't see a sacrifice. The Lord will provide. Yeah, I get that part, but what's he going to provide? Because the only people I see here are you and me, and you got the knife in your hand. Okay. But Abraham is like, hey, I'm just saying, Dad, you know. Praise God. You know what? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son. And again, that amazes me, because his son allowed himself to be tied up, okay, and laid out. How many of us would have been hopping along trying to get away? All right. He was tied up, okay, bound and laid on the wood. Now, he's familiar with sacrifices, folks. He knows what happens next. God told me to tell you that this was the most significant act to receiving what God has provided. Abraham was in the act of obedience. He was doing what God said, even though it didn't make natural sense, and probably didn't make emotional sense to him either. But he knew one thing. God said it. Actually, he knew two things. He knew what God said concerning his son. He knew it. So it didn't matter what happened after that. This was the only firstborn named Isaac that he would ever have. So Isaac was it. So whatever God said didn't matter to Abraham, because he knew he could take God at his word. Sometimes we have to understand, God said sometimes he may command us to do something that we think is unreasonable. Anybody ever been there? Sometimes he'll ask us to do things that we think is unnecessary. Anybody been there? Okay, I want to see who you are. Or we think it can be done another way. So we'll go with God to a point, and then find a reason to procrastinate. Because, see, we don't want to step off this ledge. So we'll get here and say, no, this feels like a good time to worship God. And we'll start praying. We'll walk around. We'll pray in the Holy Ghost. We'll do all these spiritual things to keep from going all the way and doing what God said, because there's something about this last step that we just ain't feeling it. Okay? Because we don't know what's going to happen. But we should know, because we know God. And if we don't know what's going to happen, then maybe we need to work on our knowledge of who God is, so we'll trust him. And we'll know that what happens will be what he said. Period. See, I really like Abraham, you know, in that situation. Because, see, when God gives you specific instructions, there's nothing to think about. Do you remember that commercial like they used to have on TV years ago about this drug rehab center? They say, this is your brain. Then they crack an egg. They say, this is your brain on drugs. The guy says, any questions? Then there's a guy that says, you have a drug problem. You don't discuss it. He said, you don't think about it. You have a drug problem, you go and get help. I mean, it's just that simple. God gives us instructions. We don't think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to converse with anyone. We don't need to get 3 or 4 confirmations. If God said it, you do it. Right. Okay. You just do it. When God gives a directive, it's time for action. So Abraham, he tied up his son, laid him out on the altar, and picked up the knife with every intention of driving it into his son. We have to understand that. He wasn't showing. He was like, see? Okay. he was ready to plunge this knife into Isaac. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This is an extremely, extremely important point. Let's recap. You'll see it. God said, take my son, your only son whom you love, to the land of Moriah, offer him upon one of the mountains where I'll tell you. Abraham went, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. And he went to the place and did what God told him to do. If he had gone someplace else and lifted up that knife, there may not have been an angel there to tell him to stop. Because God sent the angel with the instructions to the place where he told Abraham to go. God sent your provisions and things to a place, and he's told you to go. Some of you haven't gone, and you don't have the provisions, and you think Jehovah Jireh some of the time. You don't think God provides all the time. You think that God provides when he wants to, if he wants to, because your provisions are somewhere catching cobwebs because you didn't go where he told you to go, or you didn't do what he told you to do, or you didn't say what he told you to say. I don't know what it is. All I know is that God provides, period. But we have to be in the place to receive it. There are folks that are not here now. Maybe God wanted them here, and they'll tell us, well, I'll listen on the website. Okay. And one thing will happen, another thing will happen, and then 3 years will have passed. And they were concerned about provisions. And God had a message for them to hear. But that's icy. Or it's cold. You know, people that say, nah, wisdom says, I don't need to hear the word today. I need to go to sleep and get some rest. That may be true. But is it always true? You're the only one that can determine that. I can't. All I know is that God sent his provision. When you read further on, verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Well, if he's at a different mountain, guess what's not there? The ram. All of those were provisions that God knew Abraham would need. So he sent them to a place, and he directed Abraham to go to that place. And Abraham had to go of his own free will to that place, and he received everything God had provided because he went. And he did what he was supposed to do when he got there. See, in this particular case, God didn't give Abraham all of the details. He just told him to go. He didn't tell him what was going to happen when he got there. But when you look, let's go there. Let's go there. Yeah, we could do. We have time. 1 Kings 17. Because sometimes God will give you the outcome, but you still have a choice to make. Because sometimes, even though he tells you what's going to happen, it may not make any natural sense, and you're like, right. Like Bill Cosby and the Noah routine, like build an ark, right? Okay, who is this really? And sometimes you do feel like saying, "Am I on candid camera?" Because it just does not seem to make any sense. Sometimes it defies nature. The word of the Lord came to him, talking about Elijah, verse 2, 1 Kings 17, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Well, that's not a big deal. That's what people did. But look at the next thing. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Like, wait a minute. Those are scavengers, okay? Scavengers don't share food. Scavengers eat food. The only thing the ravens share their food with are little ravens. Okay, and you don't want it the way they give it to the little ravens, okay? Okay, they eat it and then they regurgitate it into the little chicks. And God has said, I'm gonna send ravens to feed you. Oh no, I'm not eating any raven food. Right. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, that means meat, and bread and meat in the evening. Ravens. They went and got it and brought, here you go, Elijah, here's your breakfast, here's your dinner. And he had all the water that he wanted. Of course, until the brook dried up because there was no rain. And then God tells him to do something else that made no sense in the natural. He said, when the brook dried up because there had been no rain, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. In those days, folks, I was hoping Pastor Sarah was here because I'd say the widow woman were not like her. Okay. The widow woman there needed help to survive. They could barely make it themselves, much less feed anyone else. And Elisha could have operated his own understanding and said, wait, hold it. How are they going to take care of me and they can't even take care of themselves? But he didn't question God or God's direction. He just got up and left. Because I imagine by about that time, he was very, very comfortable with the ravens feeding him. But now he has to go somewhere else. And so he went to Zarephath. And the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that may go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She had just enough for her last meal. And she was. It's funny because she was okay with that. I mean, that's. And Elijah said, fear not, go and do what thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, she had already said, I only have enough for me. He just totally disregarded it. Why? Because God said, I have a widow woman there who will sustain you. So it didn't matter to Elisha that the woman said she didn't have enough for herself. He had a word from God. And he understood that God was going to provide for him, and it didn't matter what it looked like. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall a cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, that means it didn't run out, and neither did the oil, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elisha. Now, God gave me a biggie here. At least it was a biggie to me. Elijah's obedience to God's direction, even though it didn't make any natural sense, not only caused Elisha to receive what God has provided, but the widow and her family also received. This is what I said was the biggie. We need to understand that there may be some other folks attached to what God has provided for us. And they won't get theirs unless we do what's necessary for us to receive ours. We got to understand that, okay? There's some folks out there waiting for us to get in line with what God said so they can be taken care of. That widow woman would have died if Elisha was disobedient to what God told her. God wanted to provide for that woman. Elisha was part of that plan for her provision. He didn't know it, but God knew it. So he had, if he wasn't obedient to go, she would have made that little cake for herself and her son and would have died. That's not what God wanted. He wanted to show he provides. And he provided for Elisha, and he provided for her for that woman. Now, God, you know the story. God told us where to send Vicky to college. We didn't have the money. We sent her there anyway. And God had someone pay her tuition the first year. And the school angrily gave her the tuition for the second year. I mean, she met her husband there. See, so he would have never been blessed with her had she not gone. If we had listened to other voices which said, College of William and Mary, what are they giving you? We don't know. What type of financial packages they offer? They ain't offer anything. That doesn't make any sense. So yes, it does. How does that make sense? God said send her. College advisor, I mean, you could just see the veins. And I'm like, why is she? You think it was her child I'm talking about? He said, but she can go to Brown University on a full scholarship. God didn't say send her to Brown University. He said send her to the College of William and Mary. I said, but I don't need your permission. I didn't come here for a discussion. Send these records to the admissions office at the College of William and Mary. If you can't do it, then I need to go and speak to the principal. Done. And I walked away. Why? I knew God said to go there. I knew what it said in my bank account. I could have empty turned all of my pockets inside out. I know what would have come out of them. But he said, send her. And we did. He had sent her provisions there. We've been telling that to children and their parents ever since it happened. Some listened, some didn't. Some still chose to do what they say. I'm still trying to figure out who they are and why they're saying these things. But they're still insisting on having their children apply to 5 or 6 different colleges at from $50 to $100 per application. I said, but you're only going to go to one school. Where did God tell you to go? Well, I want to go. No. Where did God tell you to go to school? Well, this school has a program I want. Where did God tell you where to go? And the ones that listen went and are leaving without being in $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in debt because miraculous things happened. Well, God sent provisions for them, and they were obedient to go. God has provisions for all of you sitting somewhere, and he's trying to direct all of us to where they are and as to how to receive them. Just like he told Abraham, go to this mountain. Told Elijah, go by the brook. Go to Zarephath, see the widow. Jesus said to these professional fishermen who had been fishing all night, throw the net over to the right. They're like, uh-huh. Look, let's just pacify him. You know, he's Jesus, and you know, Son of God. Okay, well, let's just. They couldn't even pull the net up. for all the fish that was there. What? They did as they were directed, even though it didn't make any natural sense. It makes no sense for us to be believing for a maul. None. But God said it. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. He didn't say when, but he didn't have to. He just said, call it. He said, call in. He said, start calling in $80,000 each week. We've watched the congregation get smaller in number. He didn't say, well, now you're down a little, so now start calling in $60,000 a week. He didn't say that. He said, you know, normally I said 80,000, but this is a holiday weekend and people aren't going to be coming, so this week only call in 30,000. Okay? No, he said call in $80,000 each week. Period. That's what he said. That's what we do. And we're going to keep doing it until he says stop. He told Pastor Sarah, because the ministry needed a place to worship. Because the lease at Peace Hall wasn't going to be renewed. They were renovating or something, Pastor, right there at Peace Hall? Yeah, building a senior citizens. Yeah. And so church needed a home. God told Pastor Sarah, drive around this building once. Come up here at a certain time during the morning, drive around the building and speak to it and told her what to say, and then drive off. Speak to a building, to bricks. I'm not speaking to a building. People think I'm crazy. No, you're crazy if you don't, because God said it. We're sitting in it. And it's debt-free. I mean, that's why? Because they did what God said. And we're all proof of it. So, folks, we need to know. We need to know that our God provides. Period. We need to know that. Because once we know it, our behavior will change. Our dispositions will change. And when our disposition changes, our language will change. We'll stop thinking about and dwelling on what we think we don't have or what's not happening. And we'll do the Jehovah Jireh jig. Yeah, the JJJ. Okay. Because we know, without a shadow of a doubt, our God provides. I'm done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we receive every word that you shared. We thank you, Lord, that we will all get to the place where we absolutely know you. Where we have absolutely no doubt associated with anything concerning you and your instructions to us. Father, we repent for the times when we didn't move when you told us to move or go when you told us to go because we doubted. We weren't quite sure. We needed confirmation. Help us understand that all we need to do is know you. Because when we know you, we know when you're speaking. And when we know when you're speaking, since we know when you're speaking, we also know when is not you speaking. Thank you, Father, that each one of us will receive all that you have provided. And every word that you have spoken concerning every one of us will not fall to the ground. You said you hasten, you watch over your word to perform it. And Lord, may we be just as diligent to watch over your instructions to us to make sure we do them and that we follow them to the letter. Because we know that in order to accomplish it, whatever it is, you have to give us the provisions. Make the way. Do whatever is necessary to make it happen. We just have to go and do it. We thank you, Lord, that this remain etched in our memories and in our hearts forever, that no matter what it looks like, no matter what anyone says, predicts, or forecasts, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who provides for us, your children. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.